Well, praise the Lord tonight. Praise the Lord tonight.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Ooh. Let's try that again. Praise the Lord tonight.
Praise the Lord tonight.
Oh. Ooh. I know sometimes it just gets familiar, you know. Praise the Lord. But we praise the Lord tonight. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord is worthy of praise. Amen. And we got to praise Him, right?
Amen.
From, it says that everything that have breath,
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, right? And so praise is, you know, it's audible. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, we can hear it, loud sounding cymbals and all those types of things. So we praise God tonight, because God is good. And we're glad to be back in the house on a Wednesday for Bible study. And we're going to, we've been in Mark. We're just about done. We're in Mark chapter 15. And we're going to pick up, is it 15 or 14? 14. We may work our way into 15 tonight. We'll see. But we're in Mark chapter 14 and verse 53. And we'll start there and see how far we get. Amen. Maybe we'll get into 15, maybe not. But this is at the point now where we left off the last time, when Jesus was betrayed by Judas and arrested by the soldiers and others that the chief priests had sent to bring Jesus in. And we were dealing with that the last time. That seems like it's such a long time ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But here we are. We're going to pick up where now, after he has been arrested, they take him before the high priest. And we start to see some of the things that they do to Jesus, the things they say about him, and how Jesus responds. And so we're going to look at that tonight. But let's pray first. Amen. And I want to pray for our Bible study. And then also just want to also pray for our nieces. Just heard that we have nieces that were in a car accident, and just want to pray that all is well.
Amen.
With them.
Amen.
And so let's pray tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise and we give you thanks as we come before you tonight for the Bible study. Father, we're praying that you will speak to our hearts and minds from heaven, O God.
Yes.
That, Lord, that you will speak to our situations. You know exactly where each one of us is, O God. And Father God, we're just praying that you will speak to us where we are. And Father God, that you will give us a word that we need to go forward in victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I'm praying right now, O God, in the name of Jesus, that we will leave this place changed and transformed, encouraged and strengthened tonight in the name of Jesus. We pray that we will be enlightened by your word, that you just share it with us tonight. And Father, we just thank you, God, for building us up in our faith. You said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so, Father, we're praying for a listening ear that we may hear. And Father God, that we may also be doers of the word as well, because therein lies the blessing. And Father, as we set ourselves to hear your voice and to study your word, we're yet praying for our nieces, Nikki and Titi, O God. We're just trusting you, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that all will be well. And Father God, we just thank you, O God, that your hand is strong upon them even right now. And Father, we're believing and releasing our faith for you to show yourself strong on their behalf. And so, Father, we await the good report. And until then, we give you the praise. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, amen. All right, so we're in Mark chapter 14. The arrest and betrayal of Jesus. Now, before we get there, let's go back a little bit. And let's talk about our friend Peter. Jesus told Peter in Mark's gospel, he said, before the cock crows twice tonight, you're going to deny me three times.
Mm-hmm.
And does anybody recall what Peter's response to that was?
We're not going to do that.
No.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. Right?
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. He even went so far to say, I'll die for you before I do that. And so he said, no, I'm not going to deny you. I'll die for you, Jesus. And it says in Mark chapter 14, verse 31, it said, likewise also said they all. In other words, all the other disciples said the same thing. They were like, me too. Me too. I'll die for you. I mean, you know, it's easy to say things in the abstract. You know, it's easy for people to say what they would do when they're just pretending, when they're just thinking about it, when they're just putting themselves in a situation, but it's imaginary. It's easy to say what you would do. Easy to say what you would do if you had a lot of money. It's easy for you to say, I would give blessings to everybody in my family. It's easy to say that. But you know how many people have gotten a lot of money and the last thing they are is a blessing to their family?
Amen.
All of a sudden they got bills to pay and they got this to do, and someone comes around and asks for $100 and you can't even give it to them. And it's easy to say that. It's easy to imagine yourself, you know, in a job and how you would act and all those types of things, or, you know, in ministry, or if you're, you know, good situation, bad situation, you imagine yourself how you would act. You know, we sit in Bible study and we sit in Sunday school and people, you know, we talk about how people mistreat us and do us wrong. And we start imagining, yeah, but if someone treats me like that, then, you know, I just do this. And sometimes people do the smallest thing to you and you snap on them like nobody's business. But what happened to all that self-control that you were just talking about when you were just imagining yourself in the situation? The bottom line is we don't know how we will act many times until we get there.
That's true.
Because life is not clinical and to the point where we can just say, this is how I would be. Because see, here's the thing. When you get there, things have gone on in your life before you got there. So, for example, you know, you can get to a situation where your patience is being tested in a situation, or, you know, a challenge comes, or a bill comes unexpectedly. And somebody said, well, I get a bill. I just say, God supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory. Okay, but see, is that your first and natural and immediate response when, before you get to the bill, you're dealing with a kid who got their face made up? And it's been just getting on your last nerve, and you just had a tough day at work.
Oh boy!
And you know, you found out, you know, that a relative is sick and in the hospital, and your boss told you that he needs you to come in early tomorrow, and your dog tired. Right now, all that was in your day, and you get to the bill. See. In other words, life happens.
Yes.
And so sometimes when we want to say, well, I know what I will do, don't discount life happening to you. So what am I saying? Am I saying don't have a positive confession about how you would act in a situation? No. What I'm trying to say is don't be so confident in yourself.
Yeah. Don't be so quick.
And in yourself,
right.
You got to realize, and we have to realize, that if we're going to do anything that God would have us to do, we need God's help in doing it. Right? And so here's the thing. We need to pray and to trust in God that he will help us when the time comes by his Spirit to do the right thing, instead of having confidence in ourselves that we know we're going to do the right thing. See, Peter and all these guys, they were confident. I'll never deny you. Yeah, me either. All 12 of them. Not me.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we see when Jesus got betrayed and arrested, Verse 50 said, and they all forsook him and fled. They all left. Every last one of them ran.
Because they were probably scared.
But they weren't scared when they were thinking about it. Right? But Jesus said, see, when they had to just think about the situation, oh, never. But the situation comes. And see, many times, situations in life reveal who we are. Mm-hmm. Right? Because the way we respond to things reveals what's going on the inside of us.
Yeah.
We talked about it before. Many times we're like tooth and toothpaste. When life squeezes you, what's on the inside of you is going to come out.
Yes.
And sometimes we're pleasantly surprised at what comes out, because more strength comes out of you than you thought you had. You know, you get into a situation and you get into a challenge, and you may even be surprised at how much God has strengthened you. And life squeezes you and all this strength comes out. You're wondering, yes, where is this coming from? Sometimes you're pleasantly surprised. And then there's other times when you're kind of, you know, a little bit ashamed. It's like, you know, I thought I had more going on. I thought I had more strength. Or I thought I had more of the teaching of God in me. And I got squeezed, but I reverted back to my old self. You ever revert back to your old ways of doing things? Sometimes you just revert back to the way you used to think, and not a transformed mind, just that unregenerate mind. You know what I mean? You revert back to certain things, and it would be great if we could just always have the godly response. But that's why we have to lean on the Lord, right? Because we can't do it in ourselves, right? Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so they were so convinced, the disciples were, that they were not going to forsake Jesus. They were not going to deny him. But oh, the minute some trouble hit, they took off. And one of them took off running. It says in verse 52, and you know, it's commonly believed that this is Mark talking about himself, 51 and 52, that there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young men laid hold of him. In other words, all those soldiers and everything, they grabbed him. And as they grabbed him, his linen cloth, they took it. And he ran away naked. He said, I'm getting out of here. So some of them fled, and some of them fled so much they didn't even care. They was running. Why? Because Jesus was now in the hands of the betrayers, and in the hands of Judas and those who came to arrest him. And so now we get to verse 53, and they lead Jesus to the high priest. And let's see what happens to Jesus now as he goes before the high priest. And they led Jesus away to the high priest. And with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now let's just stop there. Remember what Peter said? Peter said, I'm not going to deny you.
Right.
But how's he following Jesus?
From a distance.
From a distance. From a distance. Can I say this to you? There's no such thing as following Jesus from a distance.
Amen.
If anybody thinks they can follow Jesus from a distance, pay attention to what happens to Peter. Let's see how it worked out for him, okay? Mm-hmm. Following Jesus from a distance. We'll come back to Peter in a few minutes. Verse 55. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. So they had a plan. They wanted people to testify against Jesus for the purpose of saying, we're going to condemn you to death. They weren't looking for, hey, what did he do? And to see, well, okay, what he did was worthy of death. They already determined that they wanted him to be, you see what I mean? They already had it in their head. Now they just wanted some testimony to back it up. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. So people are coming forward and testifying against Jesus that he did this thing and he did that thing, but no one could agree.
Right.
Now what does the Bible say about the mouth of witnesses, right? What happened? Out of the mouth of what? Two or three witnesses. Let everything be established. Mm-hmm. Right? So the Bible says you need at least two witnesses to establish a thing. They couldn't agree. Right? So one is saying one thing, another says something else. And so their witnesses couldn't agree, so it's not established. Right? The law says, right, out of the mouth of two or three, right? You know, that's how you're going to establish a thing. Right? And someone else comes and says something. And another person comes and says something else. So they have all these accusations, but they can't get their story straight.
Yes.
So they agreed not together. And there arose, verse 57, certain and bear false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. That's what they said. Now, hold your place right there and turn to turn to John chapter 2. We're going to hold our place there in Mark 14. Mm-hmm. And we're going to turn to John chapter 2. And let's look together at verse number 18. It says, then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Okay, so now let's turn back to Mark. The witnesses said, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.
Oh God, they added.
Do you see that? Mm-hmm. He said no such thing.
Right.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, sometimes people will hear what they want to hear. They will remember what they want to remember.
Yes.
Right? And you can see it here. He said, no, and they gave such detail. I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. Mm-hmm. He said nothing about hands. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.
Right. Right. Unbelievable.
And they added all that other stuff. But it says here in verse 59 in Mark 14, but neither did their witness agree together. So they can't get anyone to tell the same story. And they're looking for at least two to make an accusation against Jesus that they can condemn him to death. Mm-hmm. So in verse 60, the high priest is getting a bit frustrated. And he says, he stands up in the midst of everyone and he asks Jesus. And he says, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? So he's saying, because Jesus is taking all these accusations, and they're accusing him of so many things, and he's not saying a word.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That right there is something that I believe all of us could benefit from learning how to do. Too many times we're quick to defend ourselves.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, the reason why we say we're defending ourselves is because what someone is saying is not true. Mm. And we just can't stand that.
Right.
Right? Don't tell me I did something when I didn't do it. Right? That kind of a thing. someone saying something about us that's not true seems to get a rise out of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we feel a compelling need to set the record straight.
Yeah.
But Jesus didn't do that. You see that? They're saying all kinds of lies against him, and he's saying nothing. Lord, I wish I had... No, I'm not saying I wish. I don't wish anything. Because I know, I'm about to say self-control, because we have that self-control because it's part of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Temperance is fruit of the Spirit. Self-control. So we have the self-control. Many times we haven't developed it to enough where we can withstand false accusations without feeling the need to defend ourselves.
Wow.
But how much could our lives be better if we don't have to go around defending ourselves against every wrong thing that someone says about us, especially when we know it's not true?
Yes.
Why spend our time, and time is so precious, right? Why spend our time getting upset about people who are saying things about us when we know it's not true?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Why fight against it? And Jesus gives us the example. Jesus is our example. And you see here that he's answering nothing. You say all these things against me? I don't have to answer you a word. He said he was going to build a temple again. Jesus just looking. He said that we don't have to pay taxes. Because if you go to the Gospel of Luke, when they get to Pilate, the chief priest and everyone, they start to say, he said, don't pay taxes. He he said that he was a king. Mm-hmm. He said he was inciting people to riot. Right, they were saying all these things. And so Jesus, they lying on Jesus, and Jesus just standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And the high priest is looking and saying, and he's getting frustrated because Jesus isn't saying anything. So isn't that something though?
Wow.
See, you a lot of times you want to get people back and set them straight by answering them.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what really gets people sometimes? When you don't answer them.
Yep, when you don't say a word.
Because a lot of times, people know they're saying things against you that's wrong or incorrect, and they're trying to get a rise out of you.
Yeah.
They're trying to get under your skin. They're trying to annoy you. They're trying to get you messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing you can do, sometimes, whatever. Walk away. Don't say anything. And it's hard. Because everything that's in us, like, you ain't talking about me like that.
No, yeah.
But that's the old us.
Mm-hmm.
The new us needs to be like Jesus and say, listen, you can talk about me all you want. I don't have to answer you.
That's right.
Glory to God. And then, you know, sometimes we want to talk about the Lord fight our battle, but let the Lord fight that battle.
Yeah.
But we want to take it up in our hands. But watch how Jesus answers. Watch what he does. The high priest goes and he stands in the midst of the crowd and he says to Jesus, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? Verse 61. But he held his peace.
Wow.
See, that's the thing right there. He held his peace and answered what?
Nothing.
No thing. Didn't say a word. But he held his peace. I like that phrase. He held his peace. Right?
Yes.
He held it.
Mm-hmm.
He held on to it. See, that's the thing. The devil trying to take our peace. He trying to, right? And we are so ready, quick to let it go.
Yeah.
Because the minute someone does something to us, oh, we're off to the races. We let our peace go quick, fast, and in a hurry. We need to, Lord, help us to hold our peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. So if he gave us his peace, then we need to hold on to that peace. Hold your peace.
Amen.
Sometimes just keep quiet. You don't have to answer every accusation.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. Someone being free tonight. You don't have to answer every accusation. Someone's accusing you of something. You don't have to answer them.
Amen.
But what if people believe it? Listen, do you believe God will vindicate you?
Yes.
Right? And we believe God will vindicate us. Listen, what does the word say? No weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Right.
And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, it says, thou shalt condemn. And one of the translations said, shall be shown to be wrong.
Yes, yes.
Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment shall be shown to be wrong.
Amen.
So guess what? You don't have to answer every time someone says something about you.
That's right.
You don't have to get back. You don't have to post on Facebook. You don't have to send them a letter. You don't have to confront them. We were watching Judge Judy the other day, and I know it's a surprise that somehow in my household we watch Judge Judy. My wife loves some Judge Judy, boy. Judge Judy don't play. And there was an episode or a case where, you know, these two young ladies were fighting over some man or something or other. And one of the young ladies thought that the other one said something about it. And so she says she saw some of the friends of the young lady who said something, or she thought said something about it, and she said, is such and such with you? And then the girl was behind her, like, what do you want me for? And then they get into it, and then they pushing and pushing and fighting. And next thing you know, police are called and everything. But why did that happen? Because someone felt the need to answer.
Yes, yes. That's true.
What someone else said about that. I mean, we, glory to God, if we can get to the point where we can hold our peace and answer nothing,
yes,
we won't get so riled up when people say against it. But understand, God says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Mm-hmm. And every time someone lies against you, that's a weapon that they're hurling against you, and it's not going to prosper.
Yes, amen.
It's not going to prosper. God will vindicate you.
Amen.
So Jesus held his peace. That's our example. And he answered nothing. Now watch this. 61. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Art thou the Christ? Art thou the Messiah? Are you the Son of God? Verse 62. And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Now, notice the difference. When folk are lying on Jesus, he said, I'll destroy this temple, build with hands, and make another one, build without hands. And they're saying all kinds of things. He said, don't pay taxes. He said, don't do this. He's trying to cause a riot. Jesus just stood there and said nothing.
Yes. Yes.
But now the high priest said, are you the Messiah? You the Son of God? You the Son of God? How come Jesus not keeping quiet now? You see, right? Mm-hmm. See, Jesus answers what needs to be answered. And he's not going, and here's the thing. What if Jesus didn't answer this question? What if Jesus just stood there and then, are you the Christ? Are you the Son of God? And what if Jesus just stood in the midst now and didn't say anything? What might people conclude?
That he's lying.
That he's not, right?
That he's not.
But see, here's the thing. Jesus said, look, you talk about me like a dirty dog. You can talk about I'm doing this and doing that, and I'm causing insurrection and telling people don't pay taxes, and I'm talking about tearing down temples and building up new ones. All those things are lies. You can say that if you want to. I won't give you the time of day. But I'll tell you one thing, if you ask me who I am,
yes, yes.
Oh, you're going to hear from me now.
Amen.
You ask me if I'm the Son of God, yes. Oh, you're going to hear from me now. Amen. And I'm not going to stammer, I'm not going to stutter, I'm not going to blink, I'm not going to do anything. Yes. I'm going to answer you and say, I am. That's exactly who I am.
Amen.
See, Jesus is not going to deny himself.
Mm-mm.
Right? But your little false accusation? I ain't worried about that. But you now come asking me, am I the Christ? Am I the Messiah? Oh, I'm opening up my mouth now. See, we got to learn how to open up our mouth.
Mm-hmm.
When to open our mouth.
Yes, when.
But there's sometimes, amen, when people want to know we Christians, And we I go to church. I believe God. You need to open your mouth. Yeah, I'm a Christian.
Amen.
And I believe in Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
But Jesus now is not going to keep his mouth shut when it comes to now, are you the Christ? I'm not answering all these jokers who are lying on me, but if you're going to ask me who I am and my relationship to the Father, you better believe I'm going to tell you about
Amen.
It. And that's how we should be. You're going to ask me who I am and my relationship to the Father, you better believe I'm going to tell you about it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You want to accuse me of all the kinds of things? I don't have time for you. Facebook has policy, right? Social media and Twitter, they all have policies, right, on what you could put up and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like certain pictures and content and other things. I've heard people talk about sometimes they get into Facebook jail because they do something that they're not supposed to do. And they can't post for a while or something.
Yeah.
But Facebook got policy and Twitter got policy and other social media got policy. But I believe if you're a social media user, you should have a policy.
Amen.
And your policy yeah. should be, if someone is not doing something that builds you up, speaks to you, edifies you, and everything else, then they're not worth your time.
Wow.
Why are you fighting with somebody because they said something on their post and all that? If it's not adding to you, you ain't got time for it. You should have a policy. I leave it alone. I'm not going to say nothing. Because, you know, there are some professional agitators out there on social
yes.
media.
Amen.
They're just spoiling for a fight.
Yes, they are.
They bring up topics just to try to get you to say something, and then they want to call you out your name. Don't even know you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're ready to talk about, you don't know what you're talking about. That's why I don't like people who talk, and they don't know what they're talking about. And now you're getting all riled up your whole day. You back. No. You should have your own social media policy.
Amen.
All right, I'm not taking the bait. Right.
Amen.
You say something against me about me, I'm gonna be like Jesus. I'm not answering nonsense.
Amen.
Can you imagine if we all got that point? I do not answer nonsense. Some of the people we hang around, we be quiet for a while. A lot of people around us talking some stuff. But your life will be better.
Yeah.
Don't answer everything that someone says against you.
Yeah.
But when it comes to who you are in God, be quick to answer that.
Yeah.
Right? Be quick to answer. Be quick to declare yourself a disciple. Be quick to declare yourself to be a believer. But you don't have to answer all the other nonsense. So Jesus answered and said, I am. That's right, I'm the Christ. That's right, I'm the Son of the Blessed. And then he says, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent or tore his clothes and said, what need we any further witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. Mm-hmm. And then I want you to start to note some of the things that happened to him. So first of all, we know what? We know that his disciples ran away from Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we know that the disciples ran away from Jesus. We also know that there were some people who were lying on Jesus.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And now Jesus says, yes, I am the Christ. I am the Son of the Blessed. And they said, well, what should we do with him? And they said, he's guilty of death.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's go to verse 65 and see how some others start to treat Jesus.
Wow.
And some began to spit on him. And to cover his face. And to cover his face means they put a blindfold on him.
Jesus.
Right. They put a blindfold on him, and then look what they did. And to buffet him. That means they started hitting him
mm-hmm.
with their fists. So they were punching him. And you know why they put the blindfold on him? Because they put the blindfold on him, they started punching him, and they said unto him, prophesy!
Jesus.
And when you read this, and I think it's in Luke's gospel, it said that they punched him, and they said to him, prophesy.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us who hit you that time. So you see how they were mocking him, right? Yep. They put a blindfold on him, they start punching him, and they say, okay, it's just, you can prophesy and all that, so tell us who just punched you.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
They
are, but they're messing with him, right? They're saying, who punched you? You can prophesy, so tell us who just hit you. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. Meanwhile, let's go find our friend Peter. Remember Peter? Mm-hmm. I'll never deny you. And then Jesus gets arrested, and Peter starts following Jesus. How?
A distance.
From a distance. Mm-hmm. So now let's see how this is working out. Verse 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what you are saying. In other words, he's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And he went out on the porch, and the cop crew once, right? Mm-hmm. And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. Mm-hmm. Your speech shows, it reveals, it betrays you. But he began to curse and swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. I always got a kick out of that. That Peter, when people are identifying him as being a disciple of Christ and knowing Christ, that he started cursing.
I know.
I've always got that. That's always fascinated me because I've seen that in a variety of ways. I've seen people who they go to church, they believe in the Lord, but they get around a certain group of people, and they want to fit in so much
yes.
that they start to act out in ways that almost like to demonstrate that they don't. Like they start to realize, like maybe they curse, or maybe they tell some vile joke, or whatever. But they act out in ways almost to show
yes.
that they're down.
Yes.
That
yes.
they're down. You know, but think about what you need to do to show that you're down, that you're not. You got to start cursing and stuff.
Oh, Jesus.
He got to start acting all out as a way of showing, I'm not with Jesus. Look. He started cursing.
Wow.
Now someone said, oh, no, he was just pronouncing curses and all that. Yeah, I get it, but I understand what you're saying. But to me, I bring it into the 21st century. Homeboy cursing.
Yes.
It said he began to curse and to swear.
Yes.
I think he was, you know, he let them know. You know, he's trying to prove so much he don't know Jesus, he started cursing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see that with PKs.
Yes.
Preacher kids. They try to act so much that they don't go to church, or they're not, you know, whatever that means. They're not, you know, they want to show so much that they're cool that they will break away from all of the teaching that they got mm-hmm. in order to prove to their friends that they're down.
Jesus, yeah.
So he out there, he cursing and he swearing, saying, I know not this man who he's. Look how emphatic he got. Wait a minute, that's the same Peter who said, I don't care what happened, if I have to die, I will not deny you. And now here's the third guy he denied, and he's getting down to it. I know not this man of whom ye speak.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
And see, when they first started out, the first maid said, you was with Jesus of Nazareth. He goes, I don't know what you're talking about. And the maid said, yeah, you're one of them. And they said, no, yeah, you're one of them. He can't even say Jesus' name. He said, I know not this man. He can't even say his name. I don't know Jesus. No, he goes, I know not this man that you're talking about.
And then, for the second time, the cock crows. And Peter called to mind the word, verse 72, that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, you shall deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. So, how did trying to follow Jesus from afar off work for Peter? Didn't work out too well, did it?
No, it didn't.
See, because he was keeping a distance from Jesus.
Yeah.
And now when push came to shove, when people wanted to know where he stood in relation to Jesus, he was like, nah.
Nah.
And we got to think about that. You know, do we really think that we can kind of have this little tenuous relationship with God, this tenuous relationship with the Word, that, you know, we kind of read, we kind of pray, we kind of go to church, right? But is that following Jesus from a distance?
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we kind of, you know, I'm not really, you know, I come every now and then, and yeah, I read, and you know, sometimes I don't get a chance to read, but God knows my heart, and yeah, I pray, but sometimes I don't get to pray, but you know, I pray in the shower, and Or is that the kind of walk that God is looking for us? Or looking from us. Is that what he's looking for? Or is he looking for a close walk?
Close walk.
I believe he's looking for a close walk.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I believe he's looking for a close walk. Because see, I don't believe God does a whole lot of hollering. Right? I don't believe he goes, I'm over here!
No, he doesn't.
Turn the corner! See, I don't think he does that. See, because my Bible says that God speaks in a still, small voice.
Yeah.
And see, I think we need to be close so that we can hear the still, small voice
yes.
over all the distractions and noise and chaos that the devil's trying to stir up around us. I think if we don't stay close to Jesus, we go too far, then there's going to come a time. What did David say? He said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Right? You talk about in Psalm 23, right?
That's right.
I will fear no evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What's he saying? Because a shepherd is up there, and he's giving a picture of the sheep that's close enough to the shepherd that I can see his rod and his staff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm close enough where I can see his rod and his staff, and I can find comfort in that. You start getting too far away from the Lord, you can't see the rod and the staff.
Can't see him, no.
And that's why things come into your life, and you can't find any comfort, no peace, no rest, because you're too far.
Yeah.
And you know the devil loves to create distance, and he loves to try to create distance between us and the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes it's through negative things, but sometimes it could be through other things that aren't necessarily bad in themselves, but they serve as things that create distance. Sometimes activity just creates too much distance between us and the Lord. And it's nothing that you're doing, none of the activities are bad activities, but maybe it's just too much. So this trying to follow Jesus from afar, no, we need to get as close as we can, especially these days. This world has done lost its mind.
Completely.
And we need to be closer to the Lord, and we can't try this thing. We got to realize Peter, when he tried to follow Jesus from afar off, next thing you know, he got to the point where he was, people say, yeah, you know him, and he's vehemently saying, no, I don't. And he's determined to show them by cursing and swearing that there's no way in the world I could be following Jesus. Look how I act. No, think about it. Because that's how a lot of folk do. They try to show you how they act. That they're their own person or whatever. Instead of, right, you know, that you belong to the Lord.
Yeah.
Don't try to follow Jesus from afar off. Amen. Get as close as you can.
Amen.
Keep pressing in to get closer and closer and closer. And even though I know life is busy and it seems like there's not enough time in the day sometimes, I get it, believe me. But you know what? you know, God is so faithful and He's so good, and through His Spirit, the Spirit will always bring you and call you to Him.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And there are times I experienced this, and I believe you probably experienced this too, where you're home and you had a busy day or whatever, and you will hear God speak through His Spirit inside, not audibly, but you'll hear it on the inside, where He'll say, you know, come and pray. Or, you know, come and read, or come and sit down for a second. I need to tell you something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we just have to realize, yeah, you're busy and everything, but you know what? Pray to God that you'll be quick to respond to that.
Amen.
And go do it. Because God is looking to be close to us. Mm-hmm. And He doesn't want us to get too far. Because He knows when we start to get too far, we get like Peter, and we'll get out there in the world, and we'll start showing people, or trying to show people, that somehow we're not who we really are. There's too many folk who in many ways are denying their relationship with the Lord.
Wow.
Every born-again believer who, you know, you at work, and you telling that joke, you what are you saying? You're saying that you're really not with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, taking the extended lunch, taking supplies out of the supply closet. Just because anybody else do that don't mean you're supposed to be doing that.
That's right.
No. You need to stand up and go, I don't do that.
That's right.
I don't do that. And if they want to call you goody two-shoes and all this other kind of stuff, and the kids in school, hey, you do your homework. I'm not studying tonight. I'm not studying either. I don't care about that teacher. I can't even stand her. No, but you don't do that. You study.
That's right.
And if they want to call you goody two-shoes or whatever, fine. They're just trying to create distance between you and your God.
That's
and you
right.
got to say, nah, I ain't having it.
That's right.
I'm not following from afar off. That didn't work out too well for Peter. It ain't going to work out too well for us.
Amen.
Let's just jump into verse chapter 15 for a second. We'll pick up next time. We'll just read the verses and maybe say one or two things. Chapter 15, verse 1. And straightway in the morning, after they now said, right, you're done, Jesus. We don't need any more. You blaspheme. You're guilty of death. Straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council and bound Jesus. So now we hear there's something else they do. What do they do? They bound him, they tied him, right? They spat on him, they blindfolded him, they punched him, they mocked him, prophesied, who hit you that time? Right? And now they bind him, right? They tie him up and carry him away and deliver him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered and said unto him, thou sayest.
Mm-hmm.
Is as you say. And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. See, again, they're accusing him of all kinds of things, but he's not answering every accusation. And Pilate asked him, saying, answer thou nothing? See, people are amazed when you don't stand up and defend yourself against nonsense. They're not impressed by you and your denial and stuff. They may be more impressed by you just standing there in your integrity and trusting God to vindicate you.
Amen.
That's more impressive.
That's right.
Answer thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomever they desired. And there was not one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them, that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. So he was a murderer. And the multitude crying aloud desired him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered, said, will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? But he knew the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. They said, no, release the murderer. Release the guy who's guilty of insurrection and murder. We'd rather have him than for you to release Jesus. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said, why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people and to please the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And you know what's amazing too?
right? And we said this before, you know, what was it, a week prior to this, mm-hmm. that there were many people who were saying Hosanna, mm-hmm. right? They were throwing palms in the middle of the road and saying Jesus is, you know, blessed and, you know, saved now and all these things. Mm-hmm. And some of the same people a week later yelling, crucify, crucify. See, this is the one thing that we have to understand. Every day we need to be thankful that we stay committed to God. Because the devil, again, is trying to separate us, trying to create distance, trying to get us to be discouraged, trying to get us to stop walking this path. Yeah. And I'm telling you, every day it's a fight, right? It's every day it's a fight. And I know you say you're saved and all that. I'm not talking about, but see, I've seen so many people who I've known who were so on fire for God, and they were in the church, and they were ministering and doing all kinds of things, and now it's like the fire has gone out.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if your heart is still hungry for the Lord, and you still want to, you know, you still want to get closer to Him, you want to be in that relationship with Him, and you're still in that place, I'm telling you, that's a blessing right there. Mm-hmm. And we need to thank God for that, because there is so much working against the people of God, and the enemy of our soul is trying to separate us from Him.
Yep.
Because he knows that he can create distance between us and God and separate us, then he got us. Because now we're vulnerable.
Yep.
Right? We're vulnerable to attacks, and we're vulnerable to all kinds of things. And that's why, you know, the Bible says the Lord is what? The Lord is our keeper. Yep. And he's the shade upon our right hand. Thank God for God's keeping power.
Amen.
You know what I mean? That he's keeping us. You know? Because there are some people who didn't want to be kept. And I'm not saying they're not saved anymore, but they're living a life that probably is not as much a life of victory and of intimacy and all those things that come with having a strong, vibrant relationship with God as they used to, because they started following God afar off. Mm-hmm. We need to thank God that he keeps us close.
Amen.
You know what I mean? And anybody ever stray a little bit? You know, you get a little off track.
Of course.
And isn't it great when God gets you back where you belong?
Yeah.
Amen. And so we praise God for that. But now, we're going to end here. And we're going to come back next week. Now, there was something I wanted to hand it out this week. But I think it's good that I didn't, because we just started to touch on some things. But years ago, I think it was like three years ago, the Lord led me to put together something that's just simply called Look at How They Treated Him. And it's just taken from the scriptures here from, you know, when Jesus was betrayed and arrested. And it just details all the things that they did to him. And so for next week, Sister Nevermind, I want to, and we can post it and we can distribute it in here, but we're going to look at that, of all the things that happened to Jesus and how they treated him during this process here, when they were lying upon him, they arrested him, they're accusing him and all these things, and it continues on. And the reason why I want to stop and do that is because sometimes, it's an amazing thing, that even sometimes, even though Jesus died for us, Jesus died for us, and that's like the ultimate sacrifice, right? Somebody dying for you. But do you know how we get to the point where Jesus died for us? We say it's like, he died for us. And like, we get so familiar with it.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Mm-hmm. But stop and think about it. Somebody died for you. Mm-hmm. And not only did he die, but all the other things that we want to look at, that what he endured. That's why when the writer of Hebrews says that he, you know, he endured the shame.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We need to look at that, mm-hmm. because I think it will fill our heart with a greater appreciation of, look what he took for me.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Look what he took. Because sometimes we can get a little too familiar and kind of just, yeah, as if it's like, it's, no, we need to stop, really look at it, talk about it, consider it. Because I think it will fill us with such an appreciation, saying, I got to give him better than this. This being whatever it is you've been doing lately. Amen. Amen. So we're going to look at that next week. So we're going to look to have that on next week and to hand out and to discuss that and to really go over this and maybe go ahead and go to the different scriptures where we find it and let it speak to us. And I think it really will transform us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to do that on next week. But for now, let's close our books and let's pray. Father God, we give you the praise on tonight. We thank you for your word, O God. We thank you, Father God, for the example that Jesus set for us, O God, that we don't have to answer every accusation. You said no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against us in judgment shall be shown to be wrong. Father, let us rest on that scripture and let us know that we don't have to answer every false accusation.
Yes,
but Father, let us be quick, O God, to answer who we are, O God, that we belong to you. And let us be quick to demonstrate that in everything we do and say and think. And Father God, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus as we prepare to leave this place that you will prepare the roadway for us on the way home. Light our pathway, O God, give us safe passage and continue to bless us with your presence on this night. And we just thank you, God, for your faithfulness and your love and your abiding presence with us. We give you all the praise because you alone are worthy, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.